You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Let's have a look at a piece of data from the South African economy, and it is all to do with transactions and transactions at banks. And I suppose that that is really a very good indicator of what the state of the economy is, because if you go to the bank, it means you've got money, it means you need to get money, and it means that you need to go and buy things. So let's have a look at the September economic transactions levels. And unfortunately, apparently they are depressed. It says here, as the Minister of Finance, Tito Mboweni, prepares to deliver his midterm budget policy statement, the MTBPS, which will lay out government's plans for the next 3 years, we are seeing the current state of the economy beginning to look grim again. Transactions reflect underlying economic activity, as I said in my intro, and the month of September had the lowest level in a year. On the line now from economists.co.za is economist from that institution, and that's Mike Schussler. Yeah, Mike, off to the PMI, and I suppose a little bit of a bounce back from the BCI today. The thing's still not looking fantastic in South Africa, and that's an understatement.
Yes, that is an understatement. You know, we've got a very good correlation with GDP, and we do know that our numbers can lead or lag with a month or so. But to have a 2.2% decline for the quarter and 1.6% decline for the month just makes for very poor reading. I mean, this is the worst quarterly number in over a year, and it is the worst monthly number in a year and a half. So we are not out of the woods yet. And normally at these sort of levels, you know, 8 out of 9 times, we would have a negative GDP number. And that's what concerns me now, because we are at the end of the quarter. These are real economic transactions. They are, you know, deflated with GDP, seasonally adjusted and all that. So it does look rather grim for the South African economy at the moment. And if we take this reading, because it's a very broad reading of the economy, it includes, you know, sort of from all sectors, probably a little less from mining and maybe, you know, the forecasts that one does or the estimates on agriculture, plantings and so on wouldn't be included. But it gives one a very good idea as to the broad South African economy is in deep trouble. And we just confirm the numbers that we've got from the PMI, for example, the Business Confidence Index from the Rand Merchant Bank at its lowest level in over a decade. The PMI at a lowest, biggest fall in a decade, biggest fall from the Standard Bank market PMI on services in more than a year. So it is not a pretty picture.
It's really not. You say here the number of transactions declined to below 100 million again after 2 months at 104 million. Interestingly, you say the average value per transaction increased, though, to 8,621 from 8,271 on a year-on-year basis. I mean, that's just a semantic. But people are transacting less. That's the point here.
Yes, people are transacting less. And I am very concerned, generally speaking, when there's less transactions, although the value does increase from, you know, that isn't deflated. But the point is, when the values increase, it means less people are generally transacting. That's on the average values. When the values declines, it gives us an idea that new role players are coming in, and very often at the bottom end of the market, but at least they are. But to have a 5% drop, basically, in the number of transactions is in 1 month is quite scary.
Yes, it is. Otherwise, apart from this indicator, which was the intro to our discussion, what else are you seeing, Mike? Any other disturbing or encouraging signs in the South African economy?
Well, a few things that I've been watching, and the one thing that I keep in half an eye open, never fully, because it doesn't do much most of the time unless we have electricity outages, is the electricity generated and distributed in South Africa. And the distribution of electricity into South Africa, not just from Eskom now, but also from independent power producers and imports, reached a level, a low that we last saw during the Great Recession in August. And we know there weren't really big outages, and that was a very big concern to me, because it tells me that something's going wrong. And then you hear the Robor and Maxsteel factories and so on have all closed. So that's probably part of the reason that you've got these big factories in the steel industry closing. But I think on the other side that we have is this has been a decline. It's been about 3 months coming. And, you know, you don't normally get this bigger decline unless you get a recession. So that is the really worrying thing that I see in the electricity numbers. One will have to really view them much closer when they come out again next month. And then another thing was the world trade numbers, which declined about 0.8%, the volume of world trade. And this is the biggest decline also since the Great Recession. And it shows you that maybe some of that slowdown is being blown in from outside of South Africa as the world is going through a trade war, and Brexits and Hong Kong protests are starting to have a very serious impact.
So what you're saying is, Mike, I mean, actually, no, I'm putting words in your mouth here. For the last 10 years, we haven't participated in the upside. In other words, from March 2009, the equity market upside and the economic upswing, which has been in place now for 10 and a half years, we haven't participated in that. But at the moment, we've got a non-participation arrangement as well, and we could be possibly exposed to what they call the double whammy. In other words, a stagnating local economy and a downturn in the so-called developed world. So we could get the worst of both worlds, if you see what I mean.
Yes, I think the way that you've put it is very, very well put, because I haven't heard it as well put as you have.
Thank you.
Just said, we haven't participated in the upswing. And now that the downswing is coming, it will blow in through lower commodity prices, lower volume of exports, possibly financial market contagion as well. Who knows what's going to happen exactly there yet. But those sort of things are blowing in. And, you know, we will feel the impact of that. There's no doubt in my mind. So if there's less car sales around the world today, we'll sell less steel. We're in a marginal producer, and we didn't get the benefit of that upswing and fully. And now we will, however, get more of the feel of the downswing. So, yes, we have not participated in the upswing, but we will be hit by the downswing. And that's a very good way of putting it, Lindsay.
Yes, indeed. I mean, there could be some sort of contracyclical argument to say, well, emerging markets will benefit as the developed world markets don't, because of asset allocation from giant international fund managers. But I just can't see it happening. What would you do if you were in charge of the economy of South Africa, if you were Tito Mboweni, if you had to deliver the midterm budget policy statement in a few weeks' time? What would you do? What would you do if you were Cyril Ramaphosa? So many questions there. But it does seem to me that something quite drastic has to happen now, Mike.
Yes, absolutely. And that's my point that I've been talking about for a long time, as well as that we don't need more plans. We've got too many plans. Yeah. And what we have is a finance minister who's got a plan, who's prepared to stand with his plan. And I think let's give him a chance. And if I was Cyril, the answer is easy. Let Tito Mboweni do his plan. He's going to sink or swim with it. So you give him the support and say, this will now happen. I believe my finance minister. Give it a try for a year or three. Let's put all our effort into this plan, and let's see where we go. Bat away the trade unions and the Communist Party alliance partners if they don't like it. If I was Mr. Mboweni, I would act on implementing my plan and looking at where I can get some short-term wins, drop visa regulations, talk to the Minister of Home Affairs, say everybody can come into South Africa for 3 months at a time, automatic renewal for another 3 months. Find other low-hanging fruit, get together with our neighbors, say let's all have the same visa requirements. And once you're in any of the SACU countries, you can go to anyone on a domestic flight. So take away the paperwork, take away the hassles, look at how you can get business involved with reducing the paperwork, and not the lawyers in the business. The actual small businesses will tell you what they need and listen to them. And I think he's done a lot. I think his plan is there. It's a bit of center-left sort of plan. But you know what? Mr. Mumbweni has a lot going for him. He is independent thinker. He's an independent doer. He will do things. And you might not, and I might not like everything, but I think he's what we need right now. He's a strong man on the finance field. We don't need a strong man politically. Yeah, he has to be strong politically, but I mean, we don't need the best political leader in the world. We need the best economic leader to get us out. And right now, Mr. Mumbweni is the best we've got, and he's prepared to stand with his plan. So let him do it.
I've always liked him. He's a bit of a maverick, but anyway, that's for another discussion. Let me ask you one thing. Is the transactional data that you've just described to us in the first part of this interview all to do with people not having the money to transact, or not having the confidence or the will to transact?
I think it's a bit of both. I think on the durable side, what we see with car sales and home sales and so on, is that people don't have the confidence. There is confidence at the bottom. So we're seeing small cars and we're seeing small houses being sold. But on the top end, there's a lot of non-confidence, a lot of people worried, not being able to sell their houses. So that certainly has had a big impact. The other one, I think, is not able to be, it's not about the debt levels or anything. It's just people have to spend more to keep the electricity going. They have to spend more to buy water. And they're not getting the inflation adjustment increases that in many private sector companies that they used to. In some sectors around the world are in trouble, like media. In South Africa, mining is in trouble. So people are not getting the big increases that they did before, particularly the middle management and the supervisor types. And the layoffs are now taking place in the middle to upper end of the market, not so much the lower end. So it's really hurting those people, because they find other jobs maybe, but not quite as high paying often as before, which is often very much a problem, obviously, on the spending side. So, yes, it is that people can't spend. Debt levels have gone up slightly in the last year. But yeah, I think it's both. I think the confidence, Lindsay, as for me, is the key on the durable side, the ability to spend. You know, you can see it also in the inflation numbers. People can't just put up food prices anymore. People just don't have that money. So the real bottom of the market, the people that don't have jobs, they're really bought out. The other people that used to be able to support them a bit aren't getting those increases that they used to get. And so the support is fading for those that they sort of support, if you wish.
Mike, thanks so much for your analysis. Mike Schussler is an economist at economists.co.za. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.